right. Am I on, Miss Jennifer? Are we good? There we go. That sounds like a wonderful voice right there. Y'all hear that voice? Brother Galyon asked me if I was singing a special tonight, and I said, no, I look forward to preaching to people out in the crowd, so I didn't want to run you off. Well, it's a blessing to be at Clearview Baptist Church. Thank you for being in your place. Thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to preach, and looking forward to seeing what God has for us tonight. I was scheduled to preach last week, and the young men, it was a joy to hear them, but good night in the morning. I never knew that they had that much wind and breath to them, and they preached the house down, and they literally... they preached us till the morning time, amen. So, how many was late for work on Monday morning? But it is a blessing to be here, glad to be in the house of the Lord. Get your Bibles open to 2 Timothy tonight, 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 22. You know, church is always a blessing. I went home this afternoon. And we were on the bus route, obviously, this afternoon. And my wife, she had an old friend that was in our youth department when we were growing up. And just so happened where we moved, we found out my wife is friends with her on Facebook. And messaged my wife, she said, I think I'm your neighbor. And hello. And so, don't you just love when cell phones ring during service? And so anyways, my wife asked her, and come to find out, she is our neighbor. My wife hadn't seen her in probably 7 or 8, maybe 9 years or so, and she was in our youth department in Coldwater. Well, anyway, she came to church this morning. She has 3 kids now, and she's married, and she thoroughly enjoyed the service, and it was a blessing for her to be back in church. She hadn't been in church. I believe she's been out for a while, and her kids, here's the encouragement part about it. Her kids, she was telling my wife this afternoon, her kids came running out after junior church with the, I believe it's the scripture memory cards that they have, and they were saying this, Mom, we got to come back next week because I've got to memorize these. And let me say that, if you're not plugged in some aspect of the ministry around here and you've been coming here for years, get plugged in somewhere, because there are so many rewards outside of that. And I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be here full time. But to hear those blessings from a visiting family with their children, and then even tonight, she's watching the services via live stream right now. And so that's a blessing. You never know the impact that you have on somebody. You just never know. And I've always had this philosophy that if you can't reach the home, you can get to the home by the young people. The young people will get their mom and dad to church. So always get the hearts of the young people. So that was a tremendous blessing. And thank God that we're part of a church that is after souls and after people. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want to be a help to you tonight. And I want to be an encouragement to you. And 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse number 22, if you're there, say amen. All right, that was good for an Episcopalian, but we're Baptist church, amen. If you're in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, say amen. Amen. All right, hey, I just got to have you talk to me, okay? Hey, I'm like an old 57 Chevy. I got to get primed up. I got to get warmed up. I'm always nervous every time I get to preach. Now, I'm a people person, but when I get behind the pulpit, my legs start shaking and stuff. So I got to get warmed up, so you bear with me, and I'm looking forward to having a good time. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26 is our text verse tonight. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's read verse number 26 tonight, and I want to focus on this. It says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I want to talk to you tonight about Satan's prisoners. Satan's prisoners. Do you realize that there are so many good homes, good families, good Christians underneath the sound of my voice and all around the world that they're in bondage to Satan in some area of their life. They're taken captive in some area of their life. Maybe it's through their mind. Maybe it's through their heart. Maybe it's through some little area that they have given to Satan and he has taken full control of that area. I want to be a help to you tonight and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would empower me. God, I pray, Lord, that myself would get aside and God, you would help me be a blessing tonight. Father, I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say. But Holy Spirit of God, may you flow through me. Lord, may I be a conduit pipe as you flow through me and you flow to the hearts of the people underneath the sound of my voice. And God, may we have open hearts tonight. Father, may we have open minds and open ears. Thank you for all that's going on into today at Clearview Baptist Church, from the buses being ran and the souls that are being saved today. Lord, we thank you so much for that. Bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I failed to mention this, that lady that my wife invited to church this morning, her son got saved. You know, what a blessing that is. And the son came out and was just holding that Bible scripture memory card. And you just never know what God is up to. You never know. I remember I was telling somebody the other night, Brother Bobby in discipleship class, and so excited about that. And we were just getting to know each other. And being the new guy here, you don't have time to talk to each other one-on-one. And we were just kind of talking through discipleship, and we were telling each other about our testimonies. And I never knew that as a almost 8-year-old boy, that whenever I got picked up on a church bus in a trailer park in Hernando, Mississippi, that God would call me to be a preacher at 15. I never knew that God would allow me to marry the wife that I married. Now, my father-in-law, if he was standing here tonight, he'd say, if I knew you were going to marry my daughter, I'd have never picked you up on that bus. But I never knew the life that God had planned for me. And let me say this before we get into the message. Don't ever question God's will for your life that you're at right now. Young people, don't ever look at the other teenagers around the world and say, man, their moms and dads are cooler than mine. Hey, why do I have to be a part of a church? Why do I have to be in soul winning? Why do I have to do all this? No, no, no. You let God mold you. You let God direct you, because might I tell you, hey, it is a life full of blessings and encouragements. Here in our passage of Scripture, we see, and that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I've always been fascinated with the history and the wars that have taken place in our time here on earth. I love reading the stories and listening to the stories of war vets who sacrificed their lives to fight for our freedom that we get to enjoy today. I always hate hearing the stories of prisoners of war. I hate to hear the details of the torture that they bring upon one of our soldiers while fighting for our country. And my respect and my appreciation goes out to the men and women who sacrificed their lives for our country. But I always hate reading about the ones who have become taken captive and become a POW due to fighting for our freedom. I read there was 4,720 POWs during World War I. I read there was 124,000 POWs during World War II. There was 7,140 POWs during the Korean War. There was 2,200 POWs during the Vietnam War. POWs were tortured. They were lonely. They were despondent. They were prisoners of the enemy. And the Bible references in 2 Timothy 2:26 that Satan has prisoners of war. Also, one thing that Satan wants to do to God's people is hold them captive and hinder the work of God. Might I tell you this evening, hey, you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. You've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Might I tell you, you're not in bondage to sin, as Romans tells us. We have been made free by the blood of the Lamb and salvation through His grace by faith. You don't have to be in bondage to sin tonight. It bothers me when young people, they give in to the devil, and older people, they give in to the devil, and they give their lives to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they come to church and they expect God to fix 20 years of a mess up in 1 week. Might I tell you, God doesn't work that way. You're in bondage. I read that there are POWs in the Bible. I think of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. Daniel is probably one of my favorite characters in all of Scripture. We read King Jehoiakim calls him as a young man and tries to get him to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. We read about Daniel that King Darius had a petition signed that, hey, if you are caught praying to your God, that you will be thrown into a den of lions. And I love, and for sake of time, we won't turn there. But I love Daniel's response to King Darius. He says, hey, you might have that petition signed, but I'm still going to pray to the God of all gods in my life, to the maker of my life, to the King of kings, to the Lord of lords. Hey, you might have that petition signed, but I'm still going to pray to the God of Jerusalem. I'm going to look out my window, and I'm going to pray three times a day as I've done aforetime. He was a prisoner of war. I think of the three Hebrew boys. In Daniel chapter number 3, King Nebuchadnezzar tried torturing these young men because they would not bow and worship the golden image or the false god that he had. And he threw them into a fiery furnace. We all know the story in here tonight. Three boys were thrown into that fiery furnace, but what does the Scripture say? There was four in there. There was another man in there. Hey, the Bible says that the soldiers who opened the furnace, they were cinched. They were burnt. They were completely consumed with the fire. And those three Hebrew boys were thrown into that fiery furnace. And might I tell you, the Spirit of God, the King of Kings, was inside that fiery furnace. And He didn't allow a hair upon their head to even become cinched. You know why? Because God always blesses those who serve Him faithfully, and those who do not bow down to any golden image. Might I be an encouragement to you tonight, church? Hey, we heard it wonderfully spoken this morning. Preacher said we're not going to change. Clearview Baptist isn't going to change. Why don't tonight we get something deep down in our crawl? Why don't we get a backbone in our homes? Why don't young people get a backbone instead of a noodle for a backbone and decide that, hey, come hell or high water, I'm going to serve God until He comes. I'm going to be faithful to the King of Kings. I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to keep my heart right with an almighty God. Why? Because the devil wants to take you captive. And he will take you captive. He will throw all the fiery darts at you as much as he can. I'm a testimony tonight. I grew up in a broken home. I'm a product of a public school ministry or a public school. Thank God I got brought into the Christian school. And I was able to go there for 2 years before I went off to Bible college. Might I tell you, hey, I've seen what bondage to Satan can do. I've seen the drugs. I've seen and experienced the being a product of a broken home. Hey, to this day, I still pray for my father to get saved. He won't have anything to do with me. I don't understand why. I remember the day, it was Thanksgiving Day. The man that I called Dad, he left our home. He was strung out on crack and cocaine and all kind of drugs. Our rent money was given to drugs. I remember one time a colored man came to our church, our house one night. And I remember my mom opened that door. And I remember that man had a gun. I was 13 years old standing behind my mama, and I said, any 13-year-old boy, they protect their mama. If you don't, you're not a real boy. And I was standing behind my mama, and I said, Mama, who is that? And she said, boy, get back. And I said, Mama, who is that? And he said, where's Mark? And he was sitting there hollering and saying, I need my money and all this stuff. And my mama said, he is gone. We are not drug heads here. He might be a drug head, but hey, my kids don't need to be around this stuff. And I told my mom, I said, you let me tell him, get out of here. Now, I couldn't have done anything against that man, but I had the heart of a lion that day. And I didn't want him to hurt my mama. But you know what? I've seen what bondage to Satan does. I've seen the defeats and the hurts. I've seen good homes. I've seen marriages wrecked by Satan. I've seen young people given in to the world. I've seen the girls lose their purity. I've seen the young men wreck and defile their bodies before the world, the flesh, and the devil. I've seen all that stuff. But might I tell you, hey, the devil always pays off in counterfeit money. Don't you become in bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Hey, don't let him take you captive.
Don't become a prisoner of war. Why? Because you miss out on the joys of life. You miss out on the victories that heaven is waiting upon. You miss out on all the good things that God has for you. Don't become in bondage to him. He's the great deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. I read this also in Scripture. The worst war that was ever taken place is the war in heaven between Satan and the King of Kings. Isaiah 14 tells us that Lucifer was one of God's archangels. It also tells us that Satan tried to exalt himself above the King of Kings. Notice in Isaiah 14, and we won't turn there for sake of time, but I have a sermon on this, and I haven't never preached it yet, but I've got the outline. But he says, I will five times. I will exalt. Satan was coming at God from an attitude of pride and self-exaltation, saying, God, I can handle this. I can take over. Don't ever come to a point in your life to where you're so in bondage that you look at God not from the avenue of, hey, God, I need your help, but God, I don't need you anymore. I can help myself. One of the greatest wars. Here's my question tonight. Are you a POW in the war that rages between good and evil? Has Satan taken you captive? Are you living in torture and misery? Are you in shackles to the bondage of sin? Hey, how's your joy tonight? Do you have a merry heart that doeth good like a medicine? Hey, is your testimony a reflection of God's goodness? Or do you have the poochy lip disease that says, woe is me, and God hasn't blessed me? How is your testimony tonight? Number one, is your soul a POW? John chapter 8, verse number 32, the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hey, the truth in the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Might I ask you tonight, is your soul saved? Have you been born again? Have you experienced what the love of Christ is? The Bible says Jesus came to save sinners. Is your soul on the edge of living an eternity in hell? That's what Satan wants. Hey, hell was never created for us. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 9 says, this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Stop living in captivity of being lost and let the truth set you free. Don't live in bondage to doubting your salvation. Hey, experience the truth. Experience the freedom. Hey, experience Calvary. Experience the blood that was shed. Hey, have you been justified today? Have you been reconciled to the Christ that died for you? How's your soul? Amen. Are you in bondage? I love John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'll never forget. I'd been saved. And I've told our young people this before here at Clearview. I'll never forget after I got saved, God started working on my life. Brother Nichols got to see me grow up as he was a part of our church in there as I was a young teenager. He can tell you a lot of bad things, but I hope he can tell you a few good things as well. But I remember I was sitting in my room one night, and I grew up in a home where my mama loved me, and I felt the love. But I remember we didn't have rules. We had a television in my bedroom. I had a radio, and I could watch. I could listen to anything that I wanted to. I didn't have those boundaries that some of your young people have set up today. And might I say, those boundaries are good. If I could encourage you, moms and dads, don't get under pressure of the world that your kids come home and they start questioning those boundaries. Hey, you stay firm. Don't let the world, don't let 17 Magazine tell you how to run your home. Don't let MTV... Don't let the Disney Channel. You run your home according to God's word. But I didn't have those boundaries. Not that my mom we had a bad home. My mom just was not raised in church. And I was a bus kid, and I was going to church, and I was growing, and I was hearing the preaching. And might I say this, I was getting excited underneath the preaching. I was enjoying hard preaching. I was enjoying I would sit on the front row, and I was just, man, I couldn't get enough of it. And I remember I went home And I started thinking that, yes, I've experienced the truth, and it has made and set me free, but I still had some areas of bondage. And I put that TV out of my room, and I put the radio out of my room, and my mom asked me a question like this. She said, "Brent, is everything okay? What are you doing?" I said, "Mom, I can't handle those things." My mom didn't understand, and I said, "Mom, I just can't handle them." I said, "I'm watching things that are controlling my mind. I'm listening to things that are messing with my heart and messing with my emotions, and hey, they're turning my outlook on the Christian life all catawampus." And I said, "Mom, I need to get those things." You know why I got those things out of my life? Not that I was any better than anybody else. Not that I was putting myself on a pedestal to where I was better, but I was getting them out of my room because I was going to become in bondage to those things. I was a young person. I couldn't handle that. And I realized that, hey, the truth has made me free. The truth has set me free. And I started reading my Bible, and I remember looking outside my window to the stars, and I would pray, "Dear God, please don't let me have a life like this. God, I want to have a beautiful wife that's godly and in church one day. I want to raise a family that's in church one day. God, I don't want to be in bondage to sin or self or the flesh. God, I want to be experience the truth that can make me free from all this." And let me say this to you tonight. Do not live in bondage. Do not live in bondage. Do not live in bondage. Hey, you break those shackles of sin. You put away that filth that is in your life tonight. Don't let it corrupt you, because that corruption will overflow to your children and it'll become a domino effect of destruction. Is your soul a prisoner of war? Hell is a real place. It's a place where the fire never quenches. It's a place where people go that reject salvation. I was preaching in a funeral for a 99-year-old man back in, I guess it was May or so, sometime back in the summer. Never done a funeral before. I was a rookie at this, preacher. I didn't know what to do. And I was preaching that funeral. Here's the embarrassing part. I preached the funeral, the second half. I had to come behind a Methodist woman preacher. You're talking about a laughing stock. My father-in-law, if you don't know my father-in-law, he's sitting in the back and he's like this. Good luck. And he's just, you know, I love him to death, but I'm just sitting here thinking, you're his pastor. Why are you not preaching this funeral? And you're getting paid for it. But I remember I was up there, she got up there and she read, and she read the eulogy, and she said some words that were gave no hope whatsoever to the lost. I got up there and I just did what I knew what to do, preacher. This man's in heaven. He's sitting at the footstep. He's at the feet of Jesus right now. What can I do to get his family to God? So I spoke at his funeral. But at the very latter part, I spoke about hell. And I told the people what hell was. And I told them who goes to hell. At the end of the service, I had a man walk up to me, a few people. But one of the men, he really stuck out to me. He said a statement along this. He said, "I've been to many funerals. No preachers speak about hell no more. Nobody mentions the terror of hell. Nobody mentions the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Nobody mentions the cry and the loneliness and the eternal separation from a God Almighty. Nobody mentions that at a funeral, but hey, I got to speak about it." There's about four people who raised their hand and asked the Lord to be their Savior. I don't know if there was anybody else there that maybe just didn't want to raise their hand, but might I tell you, there was four that raised their hand. Their soul had been in bondage to sin. Their soul had been in bondage to Satan. They were on their way to hell, but hey, they realized that they were taken captive. They realized that they're a prisoner of war, and they decided, hey, I'm going to accept the truth of the Word of Life. I'm going to accept the final authority, and I'm going to put it and apply it to my life, and I'm going to enjoy heaven one day. Stop living in captivity of being lost and let the truth set you free. Let me say this along those lines of, hey, maybe your soul being a prisoner of Satan, maybe you're not being saved. Are you living in doubt? Are you doubting your salvation? I was 13 years old and I went to the preacher. He had a little modular building there in Coldwater, Mississippi. I didn't know anything about the Bible. All I knew is that Jesus loved me. And I remember I went to the preacher and I said, I just can't think at night. I keep thinking I'm going to die and go to hell. And he gave me a few points that helped me. But here's what I realized. I had sin in my life that was causing me to doubt. And I had to get that sin out of my life. You know, I was captive. I was handcuffed to Satan. I was in shackles to that bondage of that doubt. Don't let doubt take the joy from you tonight. Don't let that envy and doubt and all the things that the devil creeps into your heart and tries to get you to think that, hey, there isn't really a heaven. Hey, God really doesn't love you. Yes, He does. Amen. Number two, I got to hasten. Are you a POW because of your past? Oh, this is a huge one. So many Christians are hindered because of their past failures. Satan loves to use our past failures, defeats, to hinder our present day living. Stop looking through the rearview mirror of defeat and keep focus on the victories up ahead. Amen. Paul realized what he was, because of his past, and he said within himself, he has to put it where it belongs, and that's behind him. Let's all face it, we're all a bunch of sinners that deserve a sorry, rotten hell because of our past. But hey, God's love and God's grace is bestowed and His mercies are new every day. Why? God says, hey, don't you look back at the defeats that you encountered. Don't you look back at all the temptations that you succumbed to. Hey, don't look back at what you did back there and all the failures that you had. God says, be just like a Paul. Be just like a David. Be just like a Peter as they had their temptations that they faced and their defeats of life. He said, hey, put it behind you and look forward to the mercies of God. We live in our past too much. I don't have a past like some of you. You don't have a past like me. But we all have things that we think of tonight that goes through our mind every day. Some of us as men, as we go to the look in the mirror and as maybe we're shaving, maybe as we're brushing our teeth, I don't shave, it's about once a year, but as we're brushing our teeth, some of you do that once a year, amen? But maybe as you're doing that, Brother Gallion, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? But maybe as you're looking in the mirror, and you look at yourself and you see that reflection, and then that old devil, he comes and says, hey, you remember when you did this? You remember when you looked at that? You remember when you listened to this? And boy, the devil starts to hurt you and he starts to just really defeat you on the inside. And then the Holy Spirit starts to say, let me remind you of something good though, Brent. Hey, remember Brent, you were out soul winning the other day and that person got saved. Hey, Brent, remember the other day that you encouraged somebody and then the devil is still warring against the Spirit and he's saying, hold on, let me tell you about what you also did. And the Holy Spirit is combating, saying, hey, don't worry about your past. I can use your past to make your future full of victories. Don't become in bondage. Don't live in captivity to your past. Don't let Satan hinder you from reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm reminded of a man in our church in Kansas. I got to teach an adult Sunday school class. I was kind of transitioning from the youth to the adult. And it was just a huge blessing. And God used us in that class. We started out with me and my wife. And you're talking about discouraging on the first month. And then God used us. We got to reach our first family. And then we had some other families in the church that started kind of moving to our class. And it averaged about 12 or 15. It was a smaller adult class. But to me, it was like a mega church. I was just thoroughly enjoying it. We had one man in there, and he came to services here back about 5 or 6 months ago. And God allowed that man to be a blessing to me as much as I was supposedly a blessing to him. That man started coming to our church, and I preached a sermon one Sunday morning on about the David going to battle against the Philistines, and the Bible says they had a file. They sharpened the tools that they had to fight in that battle. And I preached a sermon on they had a file. Well, the whole time I was preaching, preacher, he thought I was talking about a fowl, a bird. My language was not accurate that day. And he come up to me a few weeks later, and he had just gotten saved and born again, and he was getting his family started out as Sunday morning Christians, didn't come to Sunday school, didn't come to Sunday night, and God really started growing their family and their children. And he came up to me, he said, Brother Saxon, he said, I don't know how in the world this happened, but you preached a message the other day on a bird, and God stirred my heart. I'm sitting here like, Brother, I have no idea what you're talking about. I said, a bird? He goes, yeah, a fowl. And I go, you got to be kidding me. I said, no, man, it was a fowl, like something you sharpen something. You know, I was explaining it to him. Long story short, this man, doing great now. Got some areas he needs to grow in, but his past was always haunting him. He was a meth head. Part of gangs, drunk, whole life was just in bondage to Satan. But God got a hold of his heart. And let me say this, every day he said this to me, every Sunday. He said, Brother Saxon, the devil tried to get me with my past this week. But I reminded him that I got a bright future serving God. I don't know about you, but this old preacher boy, as I heard that, it shook me. I'm sitting here thinking, wow, it's so easy to preach about looking forward to the promises of God and not letting our past get the best of us. It's so easy to say that it's, you do this, follow this instruction, read your Bible. It's so easy to say it, but might I tell you, when the rubber meets the road and you actually applicate it and you hear a child of God come up to you and say, I've reminded Satan this week that my future is brighter in the hands of the one who saved me from a bottomless pit. Might I tell you, that encourage me, because I realize that the devil throws my past in my face every day. My past might not be as bad as yours. Your past might not be as bad as mine. But might I tell you, the grace of God is sufficient unto the day. Don't be in bondage. Number three, and lastly, we're done. Are you a POW to bitterness and unforgiveness? Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse 31 through 32, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind. Boy, we need this in our churches. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The bitterness and unforgiveness that you're harboring in your heart and your soul right now qualifies you as a POW to that horrible disease of bitterness. Forgiving is not just forgiving, but it's also forgetting. You ever had somebody tell you this? I forgive you, and then a couple days later, hey, I forgave you, but I still haven't forgot about what you did. You ever had that? You know, working in junior church or something, you tell a kid, you know, they might not listen or something. You say, I forgive you for not doing that or for doing this, you know, but I haven't forgot about what you did. You know, you've told that to young people mainly before. You know, hey, that's not that is not the doctrine of forgiving. Right. Hey, what did Christ do for us when he forgave us of our sins? The Bible says he put them at the very bottom of the ocean. Hey, they're cast as far east as west. Hey, they're nowhere in sight. What if the doctrine of forgiveness, what if Christ didn't follow the doctrine of forgiveness for us? What if he looked at us and said, hey, I forgave you 10 years ago, but hey, I still haven't forgot about what you're doing right now and what you have done. Might I tell you, we don't serve a God that's like that, but if you're in bondage to Satan, he's like that. He is like that. I've had a lot of people hurt me in my life. But it's not worth getting bitter over. My wife often asks me this, and she will be driving sometimes, and we'll talk about just the past and things like that. And she'll say, "Sweetheart," this is when she's nice to me. When she's mean to me, she always says, "Brent." No, I'm kidding. She doesn't do that. I got to get you to laugh. We got a few minutes before we get out of here. And we'll be talking. She'll say, "Sweetheart, how did you never get bitter?" And I'll say, "What do you mean?" She goes, just the things that you encountered growing up. I remember being told, 13 years old, I remember my mom coming up to me. It was raining one Friday or Thursday morning, as far as I can remember. And I was sitting there at the screen door, and I love when it rains, and I love to watch when it rains out the window. And she came up to me, and she said, "Brent, what if I told you that the man who raised you isn't your father?" I looked at my mom, so tenderhearted and just kind of simple, and I said, "I'd say you're a liar." My mama looked back at me. She said, "Son, I'm not lying. I've lied to you for 13 years. The man who raised you isn't your dad. Your dad's in Pennsylvania now. He's from West Virginia. This is what he looks like. This is how old he is. And this is the story of that I've never told you." I remember after that, I went through a stage to where I was very quiet. I was very just non-understanding about what was going on. And I was kind of in disbelief. Went back to public school and kind of mentioned it to what I called one of my best friends who's just in filth today. And I told him about it, and of course he looked at me and he goes, "Well, Brent, I never thought you looked like him." And, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking like, "Man, come on, really?" You know, that's not what I'm looking for. But, you know, I'll never forget that as I grew in the Lord, it was God's grace that helped me. I could have became bitter at that situation. I could have became unforgiving. Now, here's the blessing. I did finally get in touch with him. Now, I didn't mean for this sermon to be in relation to this Lifetime movie of my life or anything like that. But this is just, I want to give you a personal application. I could have became bitter at that situation. And a lot of young people do become bitter. A lot of older people do. That's why suicide rate is so high. Yeah. They carry their emotions and their feelings on their shoulders, and they don't look to God and say, "God, I need your strength because I can't handle that." And I remember that I looked, oh, that's my time, it's up. But I remember I looked at that situation and I said, "I'm going to try to get in touch with him, Mom." And she says, "Oh, don't you do that." And I said, I want to get in touch with him. I'd like to meet him. Well, I did get in touch with him, talked to him over the phone, but long story short, he's a dad by title, but he's not a father. Dad by title, but not a father. But you know what? I never allowed bitterness and unforgiveness to come into my life. And you know what? The same way is true tonight. Christ has saved us. He's reconciled us. Matter of fact, I think we are in the ministry of reconciliation where we help others as well. He's reconciled us to His Son. And you know what? If He can forgive me, I can practice it as well towards others. You know why church splits happen? Unforgiveness. Bitterness. You know how people quit on God? Unforgiveness. It always comes back to the same reason Ahithophel turned his back on David. He harbored bitterness in his heart. Hey, are you in bondage tonight? Have you been taken captive by Satan? Coming up on a fresh week, a fresh year, I challenge you tonight. Coming up on revival, I challenge you. As we are so wonderfully challenged. Man, it is so hard to come up and preach a sermon after the wonderful message that we heard tonight or this morning. But I challenge you. Make this year the best year in serving God. Don't go in bondage to Satan. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I hate the way that Satan attacks us. I truly do. I hate the way that he causes good people to fall. He takes the joy and the life out of good people, good Christians. I hate seeing families wrecked. I hate seeing marriages destroyed. I hate seeing good Christian homes wrecked by the wiles of the devil. I hate seeing young people fall to the temptations and the results of sin as it wrecks and causes havoc all over. I hate seeing that. But we are all apt to fall in that trap if we let the devil have an inch of our life. We're going to have invitation in just a moment. I challenge you tonight. We're coming in on a new year, second week of 2017. Maybe you're in bondage already. Maybe your Bible reading isn't what it should be. Maybe your prayer life isn't what it should be. We all have areas of our life where we can grow stronger. I know I do as well. But let's make 2017 a year where we put the bondage, we take the shackles, we take the handcuffs off, and we say, God, you've got full control. Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself to you. And let me say this, if you'll stay yielded to the Spirit of God, it's going to be tough for the devil to put you in bondage. If you yield every member of your body to the Spirit of God, yield your mind, yield your heart, yield your eyes, yield your arms, yield your everything that you have on your temple, you yield it to the Holy Spirit, it'll be hard for bondage to come. Don't live a life that's in bondage. As we all stand and the pianist begin to play, every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask the preacher to come take the invitation.